So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 5, text 6. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudire Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naisniki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Please repeat after me Namaha Sunabha Akhila Dharma Setave Hi Adharma Shila Asura Dhuma Ketave Trailokya Gopaya Vishuddha Varchase Mana Javaya Adbhuta Karmane Grine Nama Sunabhakila Dharma Setave Hiya Dharma Shilasura Dhuma Ketave Trailokya Gopaya Vishuddha Varchase Mano javayad bhuta karmane grine. Please repeat after me. Namaha. All respectful obeisances unto you. Sunabha. O you who have an auspicious hub. Akhila dharma setave. Whose spokes are considered to be a breach of the entire universe. He, indeed, Adharmashila, who are irreligious, Asura, for the demons, Dhumaketave, unto you who are like fire, or an inauspicious comment. Trailokya of the three material worlds. Gopaya, the maintainer. Vishuddha, transcendental. Varchase, whose effulgence. Mana Javaya, as speedy as the mind. Adbhuta, wonderful, Karmane, so active, Grine, I simply utter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Sudarshana, you have a very auspicious hub, and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. You are just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind. And you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word mana, offering and all obeisances unto you. The disc of the Lord is called Sudarshana because he does not discriminate between high and low criminals or demons. Durvasa Muni was certainly a powerful Brahmana, but his acts against the pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarisha, were no better than the activities of Asura. As stated in the Shastras, Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, the word dharma refers to the orders or laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Real dharma is surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, real dharma means bhakti, a devotional service to the Lord. The Sudarshan Chakra is here addressed as Dharma Setave, the protector of dharma. Ambarish Maharaj was a truly religious person, and consequently for his protection the Sudarshan Chakra was ready to punish even such a strict Brahmana as Durvasa Muni because he had acted like a demon. There are demons even in the form of Brahmanas. Therefore the Sudarshan Chakra does not discriminate between Brahmana demons and Shudra demons. Anyone against the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees is called a demon. In the Shastra, we find many Brahmanas and Kshatriyas who acted as demons and have been described as demons. According to the verdicts of the Shastras, one has to be understood according to his symptoms. If one is born of a Brahmana father but his symptoms are demoniac, he is regarded as a demon. The Sudarshan Chakra is always concerned with annihilating the demons. Therefore, he is described as Adharma Shilasura Dhuma Ketave. Those who are not devotees are called Adharma Shila. The Sudarshan Chakra is just like an inauspicious comet for all such demons. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupat Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Namo Mavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karati Machalam Pangam Langayate Giri Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarina Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Swami Nitinamine. So we have been discussing about the previous speakers has been discussing about the Ambarish Maharaj pastime, how a great devotee was trying to be like hurt by Durvasa Muni, and then because the devotees are always protected by the Lord, so how the Lord immediately released the Sudarshan Chakra, and then Durvasa Muni couldn't find any place, so he has to run for his life. So he was running all the way. He went to different planetary locus. He went to Brahmalok. He went Shivalok. Then he went directly to the Vishnu Lok. He met the Lord there. And Lord said, no, I cannot stop. I cannot stop this Sudarshan Chakra. So whoever you have done the offense, you go and ask him. Ask forgiveness from him. Then he may consider. Then Durvasa Muni has to come back again to the Ambarish Maharaj to ask for forgiveness. Yesterday the speaker was telling that when you do offense to some devotees, you ask forgiveness for him. But in case, if you don't know to whom you have offended, then what to do? We know that somebody, we have offended somebody, so you can go, you can ask forgiveness for him. But if you don't know to whom you have offended, then what, in that case, what to do? In that case, we should serve Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas are vancha kalpa tarubhyas. So when you serve Vaishnavas, whatever offenses you have done to any Vaishnavas, any devotees, they are all eradicated. So then Durvasa Muni went, he asked forgiveness, he knows to whom he has offended. So he went and he asked forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. So you can see here, though Ambarish Maharaj, being a great devotee, a Vaishnava, and dressed like a grihastha. Usually grihasthas are too much into material activities, into household life. But he is dressed like a grihastha, but he is a great devotee. And at the same time, you see Durvasa Muni dressed like a great devotee. But inside, Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that the demon, whatever the qualities of demon, he is exhibiting, though he is a perfect brahmana. So it happens that, of course, Prabhupada said that Krishna sees the heart of a devotee. He doesn't see externally who we are, what is our position, which ashram we are, and what service we are doing. He sees the heart. Krishna sees the heart. So Krishna is there in our heart. Krishna is saying that Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. I am there sitting in everyone's heart. I know who is how much sincerely trying to serve me. Externally, no need to show that, oh, I am trying to do so much. But Krishna is there in heart. He is judging everybody what we are doing. So in this case, externally, Ambarish Maharaj looks to be a grihastha. They are grihasthas and they are grihamedi. The grihamedi who are always engaged in sense gratification. Always thinking, Prabhupada saying, always thinking, where is my food, where is my shelter, how to earn more money, how to keep my family happy, children happy. Always engaged in material activity. They want to increase the sense gratification. They are called grihamedi. And actually, grihasthas are those who, with all their family, children together, they are serving the Lord. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur has set up a very good example. He's saying, Manasa deha geha je kishu mor arpilatu pade nanda kishor. He said, Manas, my mind, deha, my body, geha, my family, whatever I have, I possess, everything, I want to surrender at your lotus feet. Everything actually belongs to you. We have that misconception that everything belongs to us. This is my family, this is my wife, this is my children. Yeah, too strong attachment. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a grihastha, but is a topmost Vaishnava. Here we can see that a Vaishnava is beyond Varnashrama. He is beyond Varnashrama. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a grihastha. But you can see most of the sannyasis would go to him to learn from him. So Prabhupada said, the grihasthas in ISKCON, ideally they're supposed to become Goswamis. So yeah, very difficult. So you can see from the life of our previous acharyas that how to be an ideal grihastha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching that everything belongs to you, my Lord. Nothing belongs to me. So that is the mood. One should serve the Lord. So Ambarish Maharaj, in that way, though he was a king, a leader, you know, we can understand we are running, you know, we are like temples, we have temple, different temple we are running. But he was a king who was ruling the whole kingdom, means whole world. So such person being engaged in ruling the whole world, still he was practicing devotional service very nicely. Not just one. We can see there are 9 primary devotional services, like parts of bhakti which we can do. But you can have an example of there, Shukadeva Goswami, by he was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, the same way Maharaj Parikshit was hearing. But Ambarish Maharaj was practicing all the 9 parts. So, being a king, he was doing all this. So, he was always Sarve Mana Krishna Padaravinda. His mind was fully engaged in the service of the Lord. That is very important. Because mind is very much chanchal, restless. Prabhupada said in the song, Bhajahu Remana Sri Nanda Nandana. Because he said, Abhay Charana Ravindare. Engage your mind in the lotus feet of Abhay Charana, one who gives Abhay. So to engage in at his lotus feet. Because he said, mind is your greatest friend and mind is also our greatest enemy. How is that? That he said, if you don't engage properly the mind has a tendency to go so many places. I am here, sitting here speaking, but my mind may go somewhere where I am from. Think so many material things. So it's very important to engage the mind. If not, what will happen? The mind, Prabhupada said, is very treacherous. It can take you to hell. You know, we can do a lot of offenses. We can do so many things, aparad, to devotees. So it's very important to engage the mind. So here it says, Save Mana Krishna Padaravinda. And what he is doing? He is glorifying the Lord. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunani Varnana. So we can learn so many things from the life of Ambarish Maharaj. How being a king and being a Vaishnava, he has so many wonderful qualities. Actually, devotees are endowed with so many wonderful qualities. We have learned from Kapila Dev, he mentioning to his mother Devahuti that Titiksha Karunika Shrudam Sarvadevina. And also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is mentioning that the qualities of a Brahmana. So we have heard that in the sloka itself, the translation Prabhupada mentioned, he was a strict Brahmana, Durvasa Muni, but what happens when though you may have some Brahmanical qualities, but sometime all our past, there are so many hidden bad qualities are there still. They come up. How they come up? When you are too much pride. Dumbo. Too much pride. So, yesterday I was speaking that, the speaker was telling, Bhagavatam speaker, that the pride is the beginning, or it's actually the fall down. Pride precedes fall, we say. So when you are too much pride, too much puffed up, then what happens, whatever good qualities we may have, they all go away. They all go away. So what happens when you are too much pride, you start offending devotees. That's what Durvasa Muni did. He was too much pride of what he was. And then he tried to hurt a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is above Varnashrama. Okay, is above Varnashrama. So being a Vaishnava, Ambarish Maharaj was above the Brahman. Brahman has some qualities like Prabhupada mentioned that Samo, Damo, Tapo. He is tolerant, he is peaceful, he is austere, Chocham, he is pure, Khyantim, he is tolerant, he is honest, Arjavam, he is Jnanam, he has knowledge, and Vijnanam. Is important is he has wisdom, realized knowledge. And these are the qualities a Brahmana has. But a Vaishnava has more than that. Chaitanya Charitamrita, 26 qualities are mentioned about a Vaishnava. And Srimad Bhagavata, I think 24, 23 qualities. So, you can see how how Ambarish Maharaj was tolerating. In this world, it is very, very difficult to tolerate. I remember a story, a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, it was told by my Guru Maharaj to me. So in Vrindavan, so I went to him. I said, Guru Maharaj, it's very difficult for me to tolerate and cooperate among devotees. What to do? I feel like going back to my home, my home city. I don't want to stay in Mayapur Dham. Then my Guru Maharaj said that he told this pastime of Srila Prabhupada, how a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, it is very difficult for me to tolerate and cooperate. Then Prabhupada said, still you tolerate. Then he said, Prabhupada, this is very difficult. Prabhupada says, still you tolerate. And then he said, Prabhupada, I feel like I will die any moment because it's very difficult to tolerate and cooperate. Prabhupada says, still you tolerate. Because that's how Prabhupada actually teaching us that it's a big society. So he's saying that unless we cooperate, we tolerate with each other, it's difficult to go on, such a big movement. So he's teaching us how to tolerate. There's also a nice story, a pastime, about how to tolerate. Because this world, material world, we say is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, full of dualities. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada. There is heat, there is light, there is sun, there is a moon, there is a cold, there is a hot. Recently in Mayapur I was thinking that this year it didn't rain too much. So I was thinking, why Krishna, this year there is no rain, it's too much heat. Then once in even my heart I was thinking I should not complain to Krishna like this. Then when I went to Ayodhya, I went to Mayapur, I see that from the day one I am there, it's raining. It's so much it's raining that every day it is raining. Till 5-6 days it was raining. Continuously, it was in the history of Ayodhya that it didn't rain like that. It was raining last 10 days before I came. Then I was thinking, Krishna, why it is raining? If it is not raining, then I could have gone out to do some darshan. So this is our condition, material condition. When we have happiness, there is a distress. So when we want something, we always, when it's too cold, now is the cold season, it's coming in Vrindavan. Before there was so much scorching heat. So we are thinking, it's too much scorching heat, Krishna Balaram, please do something that winter should come quickly. Then when winter comes, it's too cold today, better not to go for Mangalarti. So this is dualities. So what to do? Our previous acharyas are showing us how to tolerate in different conditions. This material world, tolerate. Tolerate and cooperate. So I remember a very nice pastime. There was a wolf and there was a lamb. So this wolf represent craziness. And the lamb represent tolerance. So the wolf was drinking water in the upstream. And then this lamb was there, he was drinking water in the downstream. So now this wolf saw, this is very nice lamb, let me kill him, let me devour him. So he made plan how to do it, how to make him angry, so that I can go fight and kill and devour him. So then he started saying that, lamb, you are spoiling this water, you are making this water muddy. And then this lamb was saying, sir, he was wondering, my dear sir, how is that I am making this water muddy? I am here downstream and you are there upstream. So how is that I am making the water muddy? Then the wolf is saying, no, maybe 1 year before you called me ill names. Then he said, my dear sir, I was just born 6 months ago. How is that I have called you ill names? Then the wolf is telling, your mother has called me ill names. So this way, he's trying to make angry the lamb so that he can there is a fight and then he can kill and then eat him. And the lamb is showing as actually an example of tolerance, is showing that there may be situation which comes in life that we have to tolerate. Prabhupada mentioned in one of the quote that one is called a dhira, one who is the tendency to tolerate in provoking situations. It is very difficult to tolerate in a provoking situation. That's where we are judged. That's where we can see how much we have learned to be tolerant. Because sometimes when somebody says something, immediately we try to retaliate back. That's where we know what is our, where we are. Actually, a Vaishnava, when somebody is shouting at him or trying to, you know, do harm to him, he never retaliates. That's the wonderful quality of a Vaishnava. He tolerates. Vaishnava will never go to the level of the opposite person to retaliate. That is one very important thing, that he never goes to his level. If he is going to his level, that means, you know, he's same with the person who is calling ill names or trying to mistreat him. So this way we can understand, you know, who is the Vaishnava. Even Mahaprabhu has Sisastakam, 8 shlokas. So much Mahaprabhu has said, but the essence is in 8 shlokas. One of the shlokas says, Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Who can actually chant? Mahaprabhu is saying, who can actually chant? One who is Trinadapi, who is tolerant. And how much tolerant? Like a tree. Tree is giving you holier fruits, leaves, different varieties of flowers. But it is not saying anything. We even throw stones at the tree, but it is not, you know, retaliating. And then it's very tolerant. Even there is full, like for hundreds of years, it's standing in the sun, in the heat, in the water, but still it is tolerant. And like a blade of grass in the street, that even it is stamped every time, but still it tolerant. So it is one of the, I remember the example of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He mentioned that whatever there is inside comes outside. When you squeeze a lemon, what it comes out? Orange juice, lemon juice. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. The same way what is there inside us comes out outside. So this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that until unless we tolerate, it is difficult to chant the holy name of the Lord. Actually, somebody is too much proud, too much puffed up, for him it's very difficult to take the holy name. Very difficult. Prabhupada mentioned that who can be puffed up? Prabhupada mentioned that those a puri, you know, when you put in the oil, hot oil, it puffs up. And mudi. Those who are from Bengal, they know that when you put a mudi in the sand, hot sand, it starts popping up, you know, puff. So only the puri and mudi can be puffed up, nobody else. Yeah, so of course, so many lifetime we have been in this condition stage, it is very difficult to give up all these bad qualities. But we can learn from all these previous acharyas that how we can engage ourselves in the service of Krishna and engage, and then by doing that, by following strictly the instructions given by our spiritual master. Actually, that one's life is what the spiritual master has asked you to do. That is spiritual life. Apart from that, there is no meaning to the spiritual life. If you don't follow a Sadguru, his instruction, whatever he wanted, he said, and try to do whimsically whatever you want, that is not bhakti. Bhakti is what your spiritual master asks you to do. Though it's very difficult, it's not so easy. That's why he's called Guru. Guru means somebody who is very heavy. I hear so many pastimes of Prabhupada, how he was very heavy on his disciples. And he's not Lagu. Lagu is, you know, we're very light. No, Guru is, he try to shasan, the rule on the disciple, to make him disciplined disciple. So you can see so many pastimes where Prabhupada is very heavy on his disciples, and at the same time he is very loving. So the two aspects of a spiritual master, he is very He's like a heavy, like a spiritual master, the role of a spiritual master. And at the same time, he's very like a father. Many of Prabhupada's disciples, they left their family, everything, they came to Srila Prabhupada. So he was so much loving and caring that they never felt that they are away from the family. Because that's one of the way the spiritual master attracts the jiva. You know? It's always he's loving and caring. So in this, coming to the sloka, that Ambarish Maharaj is glorifying Sudarshana. We have been hearing from the previous lectures that Sudarshana, very auspicious darshan, is the weapon of the Lord, very strong weapon of the Lord. Nobody can counteract, none of the weapons of this world can counteract Sudarshan. So such a wonderful Sudarshan, Maharaj Ambarish is glorifying that you are just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. For those who are demons, you can say, we say the Shani, Rahu, very dangerous. So, but of course, for devotees, it acts the other way. Somebody is having Shani means he can become more nicely devotee. You know, he can practice nicely devotional service. So indeed, you are maintainer of the three worlds. And yeah. So we know that how quick the Sudarshan is. Durvasa Muni was traveling in very speed, you know. But the Sudarshan Chakra also was following him. It is said, Prabhupada mentioned in Brahma Samhita that Vayuru Rathapi Manaso Muni Pungavanam. Even one for thousands of years travel by the speed of mind, still is very difficult to go to that Vishnu Loka. So you can understand what speed Durvasa Muni was chasing. He was chased by the Sudarshan. So Prabhupada mentioned in the purport about the demons. The demons, the qualities are demons. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by his disciple that, Prabhupada, you have mentioned this in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, text 4, that you, about the divine and demoniac natures. You have mentioned that Dambo, Darpa, Abhimanasya, all this Krodha, Porisham. So we see that all these things, we still have it. So how is that by practicing devotional service, this thing is still there in us? So Srila Prabhupada said, of course it's there in us, but by practicing devotional service sincerely, this thing should go away. This should not stay for long. These are there, but should not stay for long. This should go away. So these demoniac qualities, what are they? Dambha, pride. You can see Durvasa Muni, very pride, very much pride of whatever he was, a Muni. Usually those who are too much, austere, they tend to become angry very quickly. And that's why he's very famous also. He's as a short-tempered person, Durvasa Muni. He can become angry very quickly and he will curse. So wherever he goes, people are very afraid that, oh, he may curse me for any mistake. So austerity, actually, sometime if we do too much of austerity, we see that our heart becomes hard, very hard. So that's not good. So the devotee is Parama Nirmastalanam Satam. Their heart is very soft, very pure. So when you do too much of austerity, your heart becomes very hard. So you can see that by doing so much of austerity, Durvasa Muni was very much, he used to become angry. But Prabhupada for us given certain austerities which is enough for us to follow, like getting up early morning for Mangalarti. Yesterday the speaker was mentioning that that's the time where is most difficult for us to get up. I remember when I was in the corporate, I was working then, we used to get special training so that that particular time, early morning, how we can be awake. Because that's the time, so much you try, you feel asleep. So that's the austerity we have to get up early morning and chant, come for Mangalarti, taking cold bath, very cold here. We can see so many devotees in Russia, other countries, where it's too cold, but still they get up, they're taking cold water bath. This is the austerity we have given by Srila Prabhupada. Coming to Mangalarti and having the auspicious darshan of Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai, Radha Shyam Sundar. Mangal Arati is the time where the Lord is there present to give auspicious glance, the Sudarshan, which is his auspicious glance on the devotees. So then we have chanting 16 rounds minimum. So that is one, is very difficult. You know, we feel the mind is very restless, cannot concentrate on chanting 16 rounds. Even if we chant 16 rounds, we are very quick to put the chanting bag aside. And then, done, for till next day, I will not see the face. I will not see the chanting bag. So 16 rounds, then Darshanati, attending Nityam Bhagavata Seva, every day, hearing Bhagavatam. And then, following four regulative principles. This is very difficult. Yeah. So this is the austerity Prabhupada has given. Ekadashi, following, doing Ekadashi, fasting on the Acharya's appearance day, disappearance day, on the Krishna, Janmashtami, Gaurapurnima. So these are some of the austerities which Prabhupada has given us. And this is, for us, is enough to do and follow. Not, you know. So somebody who is doing too much extreme, you know, that's why the heart becomes very hard. It is said that bhakti is related to heart. Bhakti is related to heart. That's why the heart should be soft, clean. And how the heart actually becomes clean? You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that cheto darpana marjanam bhavama dhavagni nirvapana. The heaps of dirty things are there. So it has to be cleaned. How? By Nama Sankirtan, under the expert guidance of a spiritual master. And spiritual master actually is a pure devotee, is one who by regularly associating with him, your heart becomes purified. This is one of the very important quality of a sadhu, is that when you go, when you hear from him, one thing you feel, that your heart is becoming pure. Slowly, slowly it is becoming inclined towards devotional service. He is attracting you towards Krishna. So that is one of the very wonderful quality of a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that Sakshat, Dharman to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranita. Prabhupada mentioned there are so many Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, you know, so many religions, cheating religion. But what is actual religion? Religion is Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranita. The one which teaches you love of Godhead. Prabhupada never said that, you know, this is a sectarian movement. Prabhupada said, this is not a sectarian movement. Anybody can become, you know, anybody can become Krishna devotee. You know. But you follow, you may be following any faith, because faith can be changed. You may be following any religion. But it should be that religion should teach you how to love Godhead. If that is doing, that religion is doing that, then Prabhupada said you can follow it. So, dharmantu, what is the dharma? Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. And if not, dharmena hina pashuhi samana. If not, then we are no better than, Prabhupada said, four-legged animals. And what is actually the dharma? Dharma is the laws enacted by the Lord. Lord, whenever in mention in the Bhagavad Gita that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat, whenever there is a the religion, the dharma, whenever there is a decline in religion, I come millennium after millennium to establish dharma. It says, it's mentioned that Sudarshana is establishing dharma. So how we can also understand that in Kurukshetra, when there's a war going on, Arjuna is very much not interested to fight. And then Krishna is saying, Nimitta Matra Bhava Arjuna. Just become an instrument. I am doing everything. Already I did everything. The Sudarshan has already killed everybody. You just became an instrument. So the Lord comes and teaches us what is dharma. He acts by his own example. He shows, you know, dharma. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, the most confidential knowledge Krishna gave is sarva dharman parityaja. Krishna knows before, 5,000 years before itself, that there will be so many Kaitava Dharma, so many religions, cheating religions will be there. So Krishna said, just forget, abandon all varieties of such religion and just surrender unto me. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. How? In the footsteps that great our acharyas explained, this vraja means following in the footsteps of the gopis, the brajavasis, because everything they have dedicated for Krishna. You know, everything. So Mamekam Sharanam Raja Amtuam Sarva Papi. So but Krishna, when he went back to the planet, and then he was thinking that I have told them how to surrender, but I didn't tell them how to do it. Krishna is also called Tribhangi. He is crooked three places. So he didn't want it to give that Krishna Prema. It's not easy. He locked it deep within his heart. But when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave it very freely, this Krishna Prema. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavadanyaya. He said, you are the most munificent, magnanimous, merciful Lord. Because you are freely, very easily you are giving Krishna Prema. None of the other incarnation gave this. But he is giving Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is Krishnaya. He is Krishna himself, came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Lochandas Thakur is saying, Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabavatar Tarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. He is saying that the Lord Gaur Nitai is the most merciful. He is the most merciful. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Namo Mahavadanyaya. Without any discrimination, he said, Jagai Madhai, they were that time, they were the most sinful. But he gave Krishna Prem to them also. So Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayat. So he gave Krishna Prem indiscriminately, without any religion, any caste, any race, nobody, women, men, to everybody. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the personification of wonderfully, he is the mercy personification. That's why every day we have to pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please engage me in the service of Krishna, in following the instruction of my spiritual master, so that I don't become victim of Maya. This is also the Hare Krishna Mahamantra meaning. The Prabhupada mentioned that, Hey Krishna, Hey Ram, please engage me in your service. Hey Radhe, the pleasure potency, the internal potency of the Lord. Please engage me in your service so that I don't serve nisayans, I don't serve Maya. So, time is already finished. There are so many nice things to speak about the Rasa Muni, speak about Ambarish Maharaj. So I just try to touch few of the points to purify my own self. Please, if anybody have any question or maybe most probably some comments or some corrections, I'll be happy. I'm just trying to just repeat whatever I heard from my spiritual master or previous acharyas. Please forgive me for any offenses. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned in the beginning that Krishna, he sees what's in our heart.
Yes.
He doesn't see our devotional service. Just by honest. You say he doesn't see our service. He just sees what's in the heart. But sometimes, is the heart controlled by the mind or intellectually? Is the heart... So, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to follow my heart. And it tells me I shouldn't go to Mangalarti, or I shouldn't go to Guru. My heart is telling me a lot of things. So how do you know we're listening to the heart, the mind, the intelligence, and does Krishna actually see our devotional service or only our heart? What does that mean?
It says, actually, heart and mind, the heart's duty, it is, the mind is always trying to distract you from Krishna. The mind is always trying to distract you from Krishna, but the heart, devotee's heart, is always, you know, because Krishna is there, as per your surrender, As per your surrender, Krishna saying, Jai Jata Mam Prapadyant. As per one surrender, Krishna is allowing you to understand Him that much. So that much your heart is prompting you to practice. But mind, it says, if you don't engage it in Krishna's service, then it will take you, deviate you. So you, when we understand that something which is, we are not, it's not Krishna consciousness, it is, which is not Krishna consciousness, that is, mind is prompting. And we can understand by that something which we, it is not Krishna consciousness, it is our mind which is like allowing us to do all this nonsense. So Krishna, situated in the heart, He is like observing what we are doing. So you mentioned that the heart, how we understand that what we are doing is?
Of course, the heart is the result of our mind, intelligence, and actions. This is, our heart. But Krishna does see our devotional service as well, but He also sees our heart.
See, thing is that externally, of course, Krishna sees our devotional service, whatever we are, by body, mind, we are doing whatever service. But I mean to say is that the bhakti relates to heart, actually. Because ultimately we may be doing a lot of service, but does it mean that did we develop attachment to Krishna? Because ultimately the goal of life to develop attachment was the Krishna's name, form, beauty, pastime. That is the goal of life. So by doing all this service, whether we are able to develop that attachment or not, that is important. Because ultimately when you are leaving the body, whatever the attachment that comes in your mind, when you are in your mind, that comes as a picture, it comes to you. So that's very important, that how much you are develop attachment, that spontaneous love for Krishna.
Whether we understand it intellectually or just emotionally, still the chanting is a process for clarity.
Yes, chanting is like fire. Directly or indirectly, you may know, you may not know, you're touching fire, you get burned. So chanting is like that it purifies. Either somebody is chanting, you are hearing Nama Sankirtan, somebody is doing Naga Sankirtan, you are hearing, you are getting purified. And you are chanting, you are getting purified. So this is like a fire. Thank you, Brahma.
Thank you for the nice lesson. Just a comment on the heart. Rupa Goswami refers to the courtyard of the heart. And recently I just read about Srila Prabhupada was talking about the precinct. You enter the precinct of Krishna consciousness. So there's another dimension that you enter into where you go into the courtyard of the heart. And obviously if the Holy Name is dancing there, then that's a good sign. And I just want to make a comment as well. I really liked the point you were making about we can't chant because of if we're not tolerant, then it'd be very difficult to thank the name. And I just wanted to make a comment because Shiva Goswami, he says, if you make 100 offences to the Holy Name, then it'll be very difficult to be attentive when you chant. If you make 1,000 offences to the Holy Name, then it'll be very difficult to follow the regulative principles. And if you make 10,000 offences to the Holy Name, then the Holy Name will never even touch your lips.
Thank you. Anyway, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You mentioned that too much austerity can make the heart hard, and that makes sense, but at the same time, if we can tolerate austerities, then it might also enable us to tolerate others more and develop some compassion.
What I understand that Prabhupada has given certain standards for us to follow, and He also given a certain austerities to follow. Okay, so doing too extreme, we see in the history that trying to be too austere, Because body also you have to keep yourself fit, you know, to practice Krishna consciousness. So being too austere, we have seen the case of Durvasa Muni. We are going to hear from next, the Saubari Muni, the next chapter, how he was, they were, and Vishwamitra, all these examples that they were too austere. They were doing a lot of tapasya and all. So it actually, you know, we tend to become puffed up, pride, all these things comes up because sometimes when you see some, like my own self, like when you get up early morning, when you finish your rounds early, you become, you know, too much puffed up. You see that devotees, oh, they're still chanting, I've finished. So certain things, when you're too like austere, when you're doing too much austerity, you like, there's all this suddenly that tendency of all these bad qualities, they come up. And the heart actually, you start to complain, you start to see bad in others. So that sense I have mentioned that too much austerity, the main goal is to practice Krishna consciousness, not, you know, which Prabhupada has mentioned, not to be austere. When you are practicing Krishna consciousness, the austerity itself is there. Prabhupada has already mentioned, we don't have to separately do it. Prabhupada has mentioned how much austerity is required to do it. Because nowadays, even doing that is most difficult. People even on Ekadashi, we're supposed to fast, but we have a wonderful feast on Ekadashi. So, it's difficult. So, in that sense, I have mentioned. Hare Krishna.
As you are mentioning that you finished 16 rounds, you put your japa line one side and you are doing other activities. So in the temple when we are in there, we have people doing services. So when we finish our chanting and we do service to Krishna, so that is same as the chanting, or we have to take the mala one day and chant Hare Krishna?
I remember Prabhupada mentioning that 16 rounds is minimum. But considering we have so many services to do in a day, so Prabhupada says, try to, after finishing your rounds, try to engage yourself in Krishna's service, then Krishna may consider your case. He didn't say Krishna will consider your case. And in many places, Prabhupada also mentioned that Kirtaniya Sadahari, like Prabhupada even in Radha Damodar temple, when he was giving the lecture of Nectar of Devotion, he mentioned that there are people in Braja who chant more than 190 rounds, 150 rounds. Okay. But as being in the service, I understand we have so many other engagements to do. But still I feel we have, if you don't talk unnecessarily and do so many things, then still, may not be all, but most of the devotees could give time in chanting rather, you know, gossiping. At least my own self, I see that when I have free time, I tend to, now we have a Nitya Sangini, which is the mobile phone. We immediately open it, start socializing and all these things. So we have enough time. 16 rounds actually is there, but we can always chant more. The more you chant, the more you feel like chanting. And because you're associating with Krishna, you know. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your class. On the subject of austerity, the Bhagavad Gita classes in Prabhupada's house have been on the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And there, in the 17th chapter, Krishna defines austerity. Austerity of the body, austerity of speech, and austerity of the mind. And then he says, what is austerity in mode of goodness,
action, and goodness?
So, austerity of the body is worship of the Supreme Lord, Brahmanas and superiors, such as mother and father, like that. So, isn't it that if we just follow that, that's austerity. That's what Krishna says is austerity. And therefore, we don't need to do with anything else. Of course, in the world of ignorance, it's torture of the body, you know, harming others. So, that kind of austerity, obviously, is not the beneficial.
Yeah, austerity, as you mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, there are different types of austerity. The mind, the body, you know. So, yeah, different level of austerities. I have mentioned specifically about the austerity of the body, doing too much, you know, tapasya and all. And then you mentioned that a devotee is always careful of how he is dealing with the devotees, you know, not trying to be physical or, you know, so he has to control himself. And the mind austerity is that engaging it. The moment it is prompting you to go somewhere else, bringing back. I heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur mention that beat the mind with 100 shoes, you know, with shoes every day, morning and night. You know, so that it comes in, it comes to its right place. You know, so that beating the mind with 100 shoes means chanting. Whenever your mind is here or there, just start chanting. Don't allow your mind to go here and there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. It's already late. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Brahmanande. Hare Krishna.